The story of David and Saul in today's first reading functions almost like a parable. The events we heard happen when King Saul is pursuing the young warrior David in the wilderness of Judea above the Dead Sea. David had proved himself to be a successful warrior, and King Saul thought he was getting too ambitious. In fact, his popularity and success made him a threat to Saul's crown. In a bad mood, Saul had even tried to pin him to the wall with a spear, and then threw him out of the court. David then gathered a band of outlaws, and Saul attempted to hunt him down. The result was this story. David shows himself magnanimous and merciful. He cannot harm the Lord's anointed king. David was a fantastic leader, the sort of person whom anyone would follow anywhere. He was also a great sinner, committing adultery and having the husband killed to cover up his sin. But he was a great penitent too, a lovable and very human figure. Above all, he was the real founder of the Israelite monarchy and of the line of David from which Jesus would come. To David were the promises made that God would be a father to the son who would reign forever on David's throne. David gives us a concrete example of what Jesus expects of his disciples. Our Lord imparts a revolutionary teaching in today's Gospel reading. However, the command to love is in itself not revolutionary, because in the Old Law, according to Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18, there was a command to love all who were within the covenant family of Israel, presumably those whom you did not know or did not like. What the new commandment entails is to love even those who are our enemies. Now, the old law also commanded not to injure one another, or if someone is first injured, not to extend the response beyond the measure of the injury. Once more, Christ extends that to giving no violent response, but to present the other cheek. So it's clear that the sort of love our Lord speaks of is not that of emotion or warm feeling, nor even an equal response to those who love us, but it is charity. This is a supernatural form of love that only God can place within the soul, which he does at holy baptism. This is why he speaks of actions, thoughts, and responses that go against the grain, things we could not do from our own nature. It is only the work of grace that enables us to be charitable. And what is charity? True charity is not centered on the self, but rather always wants the good of the other person. When we understand this, it becomes possible for our mind, once more enlightened by grace, to understand how we can be charitable to the stranger and even to the enemy. I suppose also this is why charity is so easily identified with our giving money, food, clothing, shelter to those in need, because the basic good for everyone is to have what is needed to sustain life. On a higher level, charity is to be concerned about the right to life of the unborn and the right to life of the sick and elderly, and to oppose laws that impose harsh burdens on people. We must not overlook either the spiritual exercise of charity in praying for others. Prayer of intercession consists in asking on behalf of another person or of other people Prayer of intercession knows no boundaries and extends even to one's enemies. The greatest prayer of charity, I suggest, is to pray for the conversion of others, that they may return to Christ and his church, so that they might be saved. At times that may even mean a time of suffering for those for whom we pray. As Venerable Fulton Sheen once said, sometimes the only way the good Lord can get into some hearts is to break them. Let us remember also that prayer made in charity changes us too and draws us to be more like Christ, who forgave his enemies. Now, since charity is a supernatural virtue, wrong is the idea that Christ is a hard taskmaster who requires of us what is impossible. And nor does he propose an ideal which only the holy will achieve. Notice he said all that he did in the Gospel reading today, as it says at the beginning, to his disciples. In other words, to all who follow him. Everything that Christ asks of us, and in this case the supernatural love of others, he gives us the means to do it. He gives us divine grace, which works along with our own good resolve. He knows that it is impossible to keep the Lord's commandment by imitating the divine model from the outside. There has to be a vital participation in the holiness and the mercy and the love of God. Only the Holy Spirit, by whom we live, can make our mind the same as Christ's, can make our hearts the same as Christ's. It is a matter of fact that the sacred liturgy is the vehicle he employs to carry, to express, and to impart the true faith, and what is more, to unite us to the source of charity itself, who is Christ, and through him to unite us with the other members of his mystical body on earth, in heaven and in purgatory. Here, or there, when you go at Holy Mass, is the fountain and the wellspring of charity. Laudetur Jesus Christus.